The message you're about to listen to is coming to you from the Porter's House Media and home of Porter's House Christian Mission.
Located at Bedford, Alata Village, off Ijebode Ibadan Road, at Debayo Ibadan.
Telephone 0803-329-1235, 0807-270-4630.
Come along with us as God's servant, Brother Shegun Ario, brings forth the word from the Lord.
We're talking about marriage and not wedding. I know that in our time, we seem to have confused the two. We seem not to understand the difference between marriage and wedding. And I feel that the investment we put into wedding, if we put it into marriage, it will have a great. The money we spent, the attention we gave to wedding, if we give it to marriage, I'm sure that we'll have a better society. The couple that got married in John chapter 2, they were wiser. The Bible said they called Jesus to their marriage, not to their wedding. Wedding is just a ceremony. Several people are wedded, but up to now not married. And it's a critical error that is plaguing our society, especially the church. This morning, I'll be talking from a very odd angle, approaching this matter from a very, very odd angle. But I'd like to say to you that, don't worry, my voice will rise with time. All right, thank you. I know that family is so critical that when God created the whole universe and invested so much into it, he was not confident to hand it over to the man he created until there was marriage in place. God blessed Abraham in all things. He waited for 25 years before he received the child God promised him. He never knew he would ever see that boy. But he came eventually. And the boy was growing in his presence. When the boy got to the year 20, I felt that Abraham should rush him into marriage so that he can see his grandchild. But Abraham was not going to do that. And if that would not disturb me enough, I saw that all the goods of Abraham were kept in a slave's hand. The boy was growing in Abraham's house, 30 years of age. All right. 30 years of age, the boy was still a boy because his father would not hand over his wealth into his hand. It was a strange man from Damascus that was managing the estate as vast as it was of Abraham. 35, the boy was still a boy. If he wants to go anywhere, he would have to ask daddy for funds. He couldn't do anything of his own. And I was wondering what a wicked man Abraham was to have been treating the only child that he loved so much this way. The boy was 40, and yet he was still living like a boy. He was living like a pauper. He was living like an orphan in the house of his father. And it was not because his father was not blessed. He was extremely blessed. There was nothing anybody could be looking for that Abraham did not have. And I wonder why Abraham was behaving this way. But suddenly in chapter 25 of the book of Genesis, I saw that Abraham took everything in the hand of Eliezer and gave it into the hand of this boy. And I tried to check what happened to this boy. I suddenly realized that now he was married. So Abraham delayed handing over his estate into the hand of this boy because he was waiting for him to have a home. I saw also that salvation plan, as critical as it was, God could not execute it until he found a family. When Joseph wanted to opt out of that relationship, God had to pull him back there because God needed a hope, a platform for him to execute the plan of salvation. So critical a matter that marriage is, that our lives revolve around it. Once a man misses it, at that point, he has missed everything. But this morning, I'm not going to bother you with what is marriage, how God started it. If God permits us to meet again, if Christ has not returned, maybe we might check that and look at those fundamentals that may help us in our hopes and might possibly lead us from where we are to where God would desire us to be. Can we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 21, the place that was read to us. I saw a home in that passage of the Bible, a very strange family. The man himself was strange, and the wife herself was extremely strange. She's a woman hated by every Christian, Jezebel the witch, the mother of all witches. But I don't know whether I've discovered 10 of such women in my interaction with married women who was a correct wife like Jezebel. She was a bad woman, but a very good wife. She was an extremely ungodly woman, but when it comes to marital issues, she was a wife by excellence. And I want us to study her. I hope you know that the whole scripture is inspired and is good for learning. One of the people that taught me faith was Satan himself. And there was a meeting in heaven, and Satan was there, and God raised an agenda. Did you notice my servant Joe? Satan said, I saw him now. I saw him. We couldn't touch that man. You have made an edge round about. We have tried. We are no longer trying. And God said, all right, I give you permission, go and touch. And I saw the devil being asked, are you sure it will work now? Just at the word of my father, the devil went, and the deed was done. And I said, look at the bastard who believed my father. Why won't I believe him? Why would I doubt the integrity of the word of God? Is it not a crime for me, therefore, not to believe God? If the devil believed God, what am I doing? Why won't I believe him? Why will I doubt him when he tells me to go and do something? And I'll be asking, are you sure it will work? So I found that the whole Bible is inspired. And you can learn Christ from any page of the Bible. Can we go to 1 Kings, therefore? Chapter 21. And I'd like us to just read and discuss and see what the Lord will have us to consider this morning. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. I may not dwell on this verse for now, but it's important that we take note of an event. Maybe the father of Naboth just died, and then the vineyard became his by inheritance. And that vineyard was very, very close to the palace of Ahab. And this Ahab is not just an ordinary man. He was the king of Samaria. And I'm sure you know who a king is. Yoruba land, we greet a king, Kabiyesi. Is that not how we greet our kings? Or like now, that they have lost their dignity. Whatever the king says is correct. If he say your hair may be correct, you say Kabiyesi. It is. Whatever he says is correct. You don't challenge a king. Where the words of a king is, there is power. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. I know you have to be a very bad man, but I see him acting a good man. He could have wrested this vineyard from Naboth's hand, and nobody would have challenged him, but he was willing to pay. How I wish those of us in position of influence in this nation will live this way that they have lived. How I wish those things that were entrusted into your hand by the government will no longer be used for your private matter. How I wish our uprightness will be like that of Joseph, who had his brothers coming to buy grains in Egypt, and he asked that they should return their money in their sacks. And those brothers didn't know what Joseph did. Only one of them discovered on their way. Others discovered after they arrived home. And when they were coming back, the money they found in their sacks, they took it. And they took money to buy fresh grains from the hand of Joseph. And when Joseph invited them to his house, they were afraid. They thought it was because of the money found in their sacks. And why they called the peer of Joseph aside and said, "Oga, we know we are in trouble. We are not thieves. So the money that was returned in our sacks, we have brought it. And we have brought the one we want to use to buy, you know, grains now. We are not rogues at all." The man said, "Be of good cheer. I got your money." And I said, "From where?" So Joseph went ahead to pay for the grains he gave his brother from his own pocket. When the grains couldn't be numbered, when he could have charged that to miscellaneous accounts, when he could have used that for entertainment or for public relations. But men that work with God in their days, they will not compromise godly standards. And I wonder why we have Christians so much in the government, and yet everything is still lopsided. I wonder why we have politicians who are Christians, and yet Christ is not evident in their lives. But I'm not talking about that this morning. We're talking marriage. Naboth was not going to take, Rahab was not going to take the vineyard of Naboth for free. He was going to pay or give Naboth a better vineyard. And Naboth said to Rahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." What a man. I must tell you that the message I'm preaching is not to validate what Jezebel did to get the vineyard of Naboth from him. Naboth was a great man, I have no doubt. He was such a man who was prepared to defend the inheritance of the fathers with his life. You wonder why this man was this difficult. He will have had his name hitting the headlines of the newspaper the following day. Because I guess pressmen will have been there as Ahab came to commune with him. And maybe that would have led him to have a national award if he had given Ahab his vineyard. And it would have been a honor, actually, for him to have done that. But not for any price. Not for any price. The tradition of the inheritance of the father. Not for any price. And so when I see people mortgaging their conscience, when I see people pretending not to be Christians because of money, I wonder what kind of Christians they are. Maybe for fear of not losing your job, you have also decided to compromise. I'm sorry if you are the combi. It's not an attempt to slight you. Please pardon me. Just the use of Yoruba. I'm a local boy. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? This is where I'm coming. I think at this point we can relax a little bit. The Naboth was very rough with Ahab. And Ahab didn't command his soldiers to overrun Naboth. As Naboth hit him below the belt, I felt he was going to exercise his power as the king. He didn't. He came home. That was my first challenge. Other men will have gone to Beer and drink away their soul. Other men will have started playing games. Other men will have gone to visit their friends. But the first thing that occurred to her was go. You have a fortress there. You have a sucker there. Your wounds be nursed at home, not in the beer pub. I was surprised that even if you have had a prophet, and I'm sure you know you had 400 prophets prophesying in his palace, he didn't invite any of them to come to his rescue. The first place that occurred to Ahab was to go home. This challenged my heart. I told you I'm approaching this matter from a very odd angle this morning. We're used to Genesis chapter 2. It is not good that a man should be alone. It's all right. But that's not the whole syllabus about marriage in the Bible. Why is it that Ahab didn't think of somewhere else to go? Why do they feel so confident that if he should come home, he was going to find solace and he's not going to meet a brawler? He's not going to meet a woman that will add to her sorrow. Why was home so homely and so inviting, and so attractive to this king? Why was his power as a king never appealed to him in this kind of crisis? Why was hope the best option for this heavy and displeased king? I can't ask questions that will be embarrassing. You know, I will have been asking for testimonies from brothers here, from men here, that when they have problems, where what they do, who they talk to. When our wives, when they have problems, where do they go? Who do they talk to? Why it will not be wrong to have gone to the pastor? But Ahab was not going to the pastor. He was going home. Why it will not be wrong for him to have gone to the church? Yet Ahab was not going to the church. He was going home. As far as Ahab was concerned, church is not home. The pastor's office is not home. Because it had a home. Sir, do you have one? I know you have a house that is well furnished, but do you have a home? Do you have a home where there is peace? Do you have a home where there is joy? Do you have confidence in your spouse that you can share your troubles with him or with her? And you are sure sharing it will be as though you have shared it with the Almighty. When you are returning home from work, and you are returning home with the confidence that all your pains will disappear in a few minutes once you arrive home. I know there are gadgets, but I reckon she can't even look here, though. Sanu loki loki ado, Ijebuwa loki ado. David was dying. Life was ebbing out. And the Bible said they gathered cloaks to cover him. The Bible said, yet he got no heat. All kinds of clothes, thermal clothes, they put it on him. But no, there was no heat. He was dying. The lamp of Israel was about to be extinguished. Some people understood the kind of heat that David needed. Came to him and said, "Oga, clothes will not help me. You know you have money to buy clothes, but you will yet die. The heat you need is a living heat. It's a heat that comes from life. Clothes can't supply it. The warmth you need is not the one that comes from heater. Your tea, your special tea, can't solve the problem. And sometimes when you are fumbling with your iPad, somebody will think that you are serious. It's only because you are confused, you have nobody to talk to. It's not as if you are doing anything there. Confusion has made you a friend of your iPad. You stay late in the office not because you are so serious minded. It's because there is no home to go to. I don't understand. And Ahab came into his house. God has house. He didn't go to the house of God. He came to his house. It's a wonder that this man had much more confidence in his house than in the tabernacle. Am I saying it is wrong to have approached God? No, it's not wrong. But how did he start it? How did he start? God said, I will make him a help meet for him. As though God is saying, don't trouble me again, this man. Your help I will make. So each time you need help, that's the first person to consult. Now, it will look as if I'm talking to women today, but I'm talking to both. I'm only approaching it from the angle of women. And many times, you know, as I talk to sisters, mature sisters, say, so why are you not accepting what God is telling you about that? I say, tell me, I said, you know, Dikale. Why are you turning the Bible upside down? The person God said he was going to make for the man was not a body, but a help. Why would a help be looking for help? I'm asking you. Now, don't suspect me that I'm not taking care of my wife. I do. She's the treasurer of our house. She keeps the money. She keeps the powerhouse. That's what I found in Christ. It is the church that keeps the money. It's all right. Yet, I have to train her for many years to understand that she has not come to my life to add burden to me. She has come to provide help. Now, I hope our sisters will like me at the end of this meeting. Don't worry. I am for you. And you know, as Ahab came, I saw that he did not greet his wife. His wife did like this towards the dining table. He ignored his wife. He made straight for his bedroom. And he climbed his bed and turned away his face. Ah. Now, let me ask you. I know you are a child of God. You will not lie. If you were the woman and your husband came, you are trying to hug her, he ignored you. He said, your food is ready. He didn't answer. He went inside the bedroom. Excuse me, what happens that day? Sisters, Ahab was a murdered sleep. And he will not sleep in that house. I thought that Jezebel was going to go and meet him to fight and accuse him of extramarital affairs. That if he had not eaten from somebody, why will you abandon my food? He could call him Bobby. But But something happened in verse 5 that touched me. But Jezebel, his wife. When Job was going to respond to the instruction of God to destroy the entire family of Ahab, I was surprised to read that Ahab had 70 sons. Could Jezebel have given birth to 70 children? Were there not other women in this man's life? But only one was qualified to be called his wife. But Jezebel, his wife. There was something God saw in her, such that she was named his wife. It is not everybody bear misses that is a wife. Now, men, wait, we are coming. I remembered that when Ada became pregnant, Sarah was despised in her eyes. She thought carrying the seed of Abraham had made her the wife of Abraham. But I was surprised when Sarah victimized her and she ran out of the house. And God came to meet her. And God said, Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, what are you doing here? I said, no, she's Mrs. Abraham. God said, no, she's just the handmaid of Sarah. I said, but she's pregnant. I said, and so? It is not every woman that gives birth to children for her husband that is a wife. And of course, it is not every man that has a wife at home is a husband. Maybe that is why bachelors are trying to play the role of husbands. And they have seen one lady and they say, I love you. In fact, the only sugar in my tea, the only cockroach in my cupboard. Now, the day I saw you, you look like a being from the terrestrial world. Young man, be patient. What the Bible tells us and teaches is husband, love your wife, not bachelor, love your spinsters. Don't turn the Bible upside down. Wait until you marry before we know you love her. Wait until you see her in her worst state and you are yet committed to that marital vow. That's when we know you love her. Love is not the first. Every relationship that started on the note of love in the Bible ended in disaster. Check through the Bible. Either Amnon and Tamar, either Jacob and Rachel, either Samson and Delilah, either Hamnon and Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. Everyone that started on the note of love, na disaster, na yenda. Because the Bible cannot be broken. God is committed to his principles. He is committed to his word. No matter what the world is saying, no matter what the world is doing, the Bible is settled in heaven. The original epic is there. We can doctor this one. When we see God face to face, we confront him with the original. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Everything could change, but not marriage, not the word of God. It does not, it will not. And here this morning, I feel like confronting you with the truth from the word of God. that you might do an audit check of your life and your home. And for those of us who are not married, you might also check if you have something before you enter into it. If you have what it takes. And Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad? Now, it would have been all right to say, why is your face looking like this? I would have said, that's an obvious thing. But how this woman was able to see into the spirit of her husband challenged me. As soon as her husband entered and will not greet anybody, will not eat his food, Jezebel approached the state guests. He said, excuse me, please. I'm sorry, you have to go now. The king will not be able to see. All the housemates, can you please withdraw? Switch off that television. Switch off that phone. Can you shut down that computer? Shut down the iPad. All our phones switched off. Everything must shut down because our husband was not in good mood. Everything must wait. Everything must stop. Because the person she is living for was in a confused state. All our guests were sent out of the palace. Said, sorry, I can't attend to you. Said, what happened, man? He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I need to attend to my husband now. So then what about this important guest from America and is here for this reason? He said, I'm sorry. America will have to wait. My husband must be attended to. Nothing matter anymore. The only thing that matter here is the matter of Ahab, my husband. And she came in and said, I thought she was going to shout. I thought she was going to snap back at her husband. I thought she was going to jeer at her husband. No, and said, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? How did she know? Is it right for you not to know that something is wrong with your spouse? The one that left home in the morning. Are you sure it's the same person coming home in the evening? Ahab knew he had a home. He was not disappointed. He knew whatever was the problem was going to be handled in his house. He said, honey, why is your spirit so sad such that you didn't eat your food? Could there be a problem as great that you will ignore my food? What is it? And do you remember that when Ezekiah turned his face like that to the wall, who was he talking to? God. But this one, he was not talking to God. I was not talking to himself. And he said unto her, now I felt in my heart what a confidence in his wife, what a confidence in his home, that which he couldn't gather words to express in prayer to God, he could express it to his spouse. Will it not be great if your wife has this trust in you, that what she couldn't discuss with God, what she couldn't discuss with the pastor, what she couldn't even discuss with herself, she could discuss with you? Will it not be great as a wife if your husband trusts you this much, that whatever he couldn't discuss with God, he could discuss it very freely with you, and he will not be choosing words? He was going to tell Jezebel what happened. And you know, sometimes one will come and say, "Honey, what's the problem?" Say, "I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll be fine." You know why he's talking like that? You know the woman will add more to that problem. He said, "I'll be fine." He said, "Okay. Since you'll be fine, I'm also fine." That was not Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. She was passionate about her husband. She was passionate about the peace of her husband. She was passionate about the joy of her husband. She was passionate about the well-being of her husband. She was going to do anything to keep her husband happy. That was the woman, even though she's a witch. But this one, a good witch to her husband. At least on this platform alone. And he said unto her, "Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it." And he answered, "I will not give thee my vineyard." Was that what happened? Just exactly. He didn't paraphrase anything. And you know, because you are too critical, your spouse is no longer confident to tell you as it is. You know, sometimes you could buy something as you are coming home, and then the first question your wife asks you, "How much did you buy it?" Have you fallen into that trouble before? I have fallen into that several times for many years. One day I told my wife, I said, "You see, I wish you would stop blaming me for buying something. And you say they have cheated you. See, you don't know how to price things." I said, "You don't know that what gives value to that thing is your worth in my heart. I just bought it for you, and I feel I can pay any price, either it is outrageous or not." I know. Since that day, she didn't ask me for the price of anything. I just bought her a phone a few days ago. She didn't ask me for the price before. She said, "How much?" And so, your husband buys things, he hides it. Something happens to the car, he hides it. He will quickly go and repair it before bringing it home. Or your wife, somebody dents the car, she's already crying because she knows that for the next 1 month, she will not have peace in that house. She will quickly go and fix it before she brings the car home. Are you a good husband? No. Are you a husband at all? Because there is no good husband in the Bible. And he didn't say, "Good husband, love your wife." He said, "Husband." There shouldn't be any space for comparison. There is no way it is written, "The Lord is better in the Bible." Have you said something like that? Or, "The Lord is the best." No, the Lord is good. He's not competing with anybody. He's just the Lord. And I feel, why is it that in our homes, we are not bold to say things the way they are? Why is it that your husband will commit fornication or adultery? And yet, because of the fear of what will happen, he has kept it away from you for years. Now, am I saying that it's good to commit adultery? No. But You know Joseph? She found that the woman she was going to trust his life with for the rest of his life was pregnant. And he was not responsible for that pregnancy. And the Bible said, Joseph, be a just man. I said, Joseph, be just a man. He's just man and he's just a man. But the fact that he was a man and he was just being a man was not going to make him to disgrace that woman publicly. He didn't go to the church and say, help me call the pastor, the church workers. Fire on the mountain. Fire on the mountain. Fire on the mountain. No. The Bible said he was minded to put her away privately. He was being just, being a man of justice. He's not the reason to take your pound of flesh. Being a man of justice is not the reason for you to take revenge. No, Joseph was also a man of justice. And yet justice in Joseph. Desire. And whatever we are going to do, let it be that this woman is not embarrassed. And as I was thinking about it, the angel of the Lord appeared unto me. I said, wow. Wow. That's quite challenging. That a man in that kind of condition could still hear God. Not be you, I know. Yeah, God can. Where will God be talking? Even if the message is coming and he's addressing that issue, he said, Pastor is just talking his own. That woman is leaving my house by the grace of God. Ahab told Jezebel everything. He was not thinking of punishing it to make himself look great, to make himself to have done something that Jezebel was saying, correct, you have acted well. As foolish as he was, he presented it to his wife because he felt safe in her arms. As I land off, I want you to see what happened in verse 7. Again, the Bible said, and Jezebel, who his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? You know the NIV our brother read to us the other time reads, Jezebel his wife said, is this how you act as king over Israel? This is a wife. And I wish husbands too would behave this way. Jezebel looked into the eyes of her husband and said, have you forgotten so soon that you are a king over Israel? Have you forgotten your authority? Have you forgotten your anointing? Have you forgotten the staff of office you are given, the crown on your head? Don't you know that you are the father of all and you are the owner of everything here in Israel? What husband will not cherish such a wife that will remind him of God's promises over his life? Have you forgotten the covenant of God? That the HRM is harassing you? Have you forgotten that God said to us 2 years after our marriage that we are going to become the MD of that place? Have you forgotten that HRM is going to live for you? Why are you afraid of that? Have you forgotten the promises of God that you are going to be the head and not the tail? When that organization was nothing, you were there. Have you forgotten the Bible that says that you will not work for another man to eat? That you will plant a vineyard and you will eat out of it? Have you forgotten? This was the kind of woman Jezebel was to her husband. She was reminding her husband power that lies in him, untapped. Grace that lies in him unactivated. Authority that was in his hand that he had never employed or deployed. Is this how to act as king? My dear, see what she said. Arise and eat bread. For Naboth and his vineyard, you want to fast. Now, you should leave fasting for me. Let me do the fasting. You be eating. I don't know if you understand that your wife rise and tell you, honey, you don't need to fast for this matter. Leave me. Leave it with me. You people know that as a woman, I'm a talkative. When I start like this, God will know I have come. When a woman knows how to deploy the seed in her for the good of her husband, under the curse, God didn't forget to act that the woman carried a seed that will bruise the head of the serpent. Women, can I simply tell you that inside of you is a seed that has capacity to destroy the devil that wants to destroy your home? But it could be there unused. It could lie fallow for the rest of your life. It could be there unactivated, untapped, unused. Jezebel said, arise, eat bread, cheer up, and as though God speaking, you know what he said? I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelites. What the king could not do, Jezebel said, I will. He didn't say, I will buy. He said, that vineyard is already yours. Go and celebrate. Now, I told you I'm not validating what she did. But I want you to look at this woman in the light of a wife with a positive drive to be a help unto her husband. I simply want to see the home of Ahab and his wife as a template for us this day, that we might call upon the Lord for our lives to give us Christian homes. So if Jezebel was a witch because she had bed, Oleye. But I think we also have a holy bed called the Holy Spirit. And yes, it's there, Lord. So what do you do with your own Oleye? What is the purpose of the holy dove in you, therefore? Beloved, as I rant off this charge, I don't think it's a teaching. I feel it's just a charge for us to just sit down and just look around and check if we have a home. If Jezebel was, permit me, this virtuous, I'm thinking that Ahab must have created the atmosphere for her to express the grace that was in her. Ahab had showed confidence and was never going to hide it from her, the confidence he had in his wife. Ahab must have told Jezebel that what the Bible says is that the Lord blessed them and the Lord said unto them, and not the Lord blessed him and the Lord said unto him, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion and subdue the earth. It's not one man show. That authority was shared between the husband and the wife. We start reading our Bible from husbands. Your wife, submit yourself unto your own husband. We don't start from the earlier verse that says submitting to one another. That submission is mutual, even though we expect the wife voluntarily, not under coercion, to submit whatever she is to her husband, as Christ did unto the Father, and as the church, the bride, does to Jesus. Not coerced. Jesus laid down, even though he had everything that could make him God, yet he stripped himself of all that, and he took the form of a man, and he was found as a servant. That's what I read in my Bible. It was voluntary. It was not under grace. As you harass your wife and remind her every day, I'm the head of this house, it's because you are not the head at all. This morning, the question is, do you have a home? Do you have a place that is a fortress? Do you have a place where men who are distressed could come and hide? It's unfortunate that we have nowhere to send will-be couples to go and do their internship. It's becoming difficult. Whereas what I do once they are approaching marriage, I say, sister, go and live with that with this couple and spend some 6 or 8 weekends in their house. Go and understudy that woman to know how to be a wife. Bro, go this way. Go and understudy that brother to learn how to be a husband. Unfortunately, we don't have families enough to send will-be couples to learn what it means to have a home. Shall we rise to our feet as we pray? Our prayer is, God, give us Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. Only homes where the Lord is a honored Lord. Even though that means, like I say, a honored guest. But no, he must not be a guest in our house. You know, there is this thing we used to put on the wall of our house. Christ is the head of this house. The unseen guest at every meal. The silent listener to every conversation. I said, nonsense. Beautiful nonsense. How can he be a head of a house and yet a guest in that same house at every meal? No, it's not correct. He is the head. Then he's the head. He must not be a guest. He must not be a silent listener, and he will not be a contributor. He will not be the one that is even presiding over the discussion. This morning, you know, my heart is just, what do you have? Do you have a home? Sister, just check. Do you have a home? Young woman, I know you are not married. I know you are single. What are you planning to have? Don't make the mistake that Solomon made, who asked for wisdom when he had already married. So he got wisdom for administration, he got wisdom for everything except wisdom to handle marriage. Because that wisdom came too late. He was already committed to strange women before he asked for wisdom. Why don't you ask for wisdom now that you are not married? So that you have wisdom to handle virtually everything you must handle in life. Brother, what do you have? Do we call what you have a home? Can you call it a home? Sister, can you call yours a home? I want to leave you to respond to God in prayer. I don't want to teach you what to pray about. You know, I just came with a charge and a challenge to to make you think, just to stir your pure minds onto holy thinking this morning, that you might sit down and say, Lord, I think I need to start all over again. I don't have a home. Please give me one. A place where my husband will be confident to come. Anytime he's assaulted outside, anytime he's challenged, anytime anything is wrong with him, he will have a place to come. Anytime he is happy and joyous, he will have a place to come and express his joy. He will not be in a viewing center and will be expressing his joy at Arsenal and Man United. He will just be at home to express his joy with me. He will not stay among friends and be drinking beer. He will not stay among politicians and be talking politics. Whatever politics he wants to discuss, he will prefer to discuss with me. God, give me a home. Can we approach the Lord in prayers? Can we approach him in prayer? You have to pray deep. You have to be vehement about it. You have to be specific about it. You have to touch God this morning. Say, Lord, don't let me go from this meeting until you do something to my home. Until you recover my home. Until you revamp my home. As a young man, I do not have a wife yet, but Lord, I am praying that you will give me a home, a correct home, a correct Christian home. Not a house that is well kitted, well furnished, and yet where foolishness dwelleth, where fight and quarrel and all kinds of confusion dwelleth. Lord, a home that is peaceful, a home that is beautiful, a home that is inviting, a home that is attractive. Grandparents, can you please pray for your own home and for your children and say, Lord, give my children this kind of home where you dwelleth, where God dwelleth in righteousness, where God is honored. A home where we have confidence, where we will have confidence in one another. A home where Christ is so evident and evidenced in everything they do. Bring this prayer point to our close. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Finally, I'd like you to pray. There could be alien homes here. The husband and the wife may wear the same dress. They may be sitting down together in the same place, not wearing the same dress, and yet there may be no peace. Jesus taught his disciples, he said, any house you enter, say peace unto this house. And if there is a child of peace there, enter and dwell there. But if there is none, leave that place. So I know that God does not dwell in a house where peace is not. God cannot be found in a place, Christ cannot be found in a place where there is no peace. Can you pray that the Lord will restore peace to every home that is peaceless right now? It could be yours. It may not be yours, but at the same time, would you like to pray for another family that is going through crisis? The husband is a stranger to his wife. The wife is a stranger to her husband. The children are looking as though from the ringside, two wrestlers fighting. Two boxers fighting, and one is supporting this, the other one is supporting that. That's not a home. Lord, grant peace in every home that is going through crisis at this moment. Only Father, you will please find a space to intervene. Find a space to interfere in every home that is threatened by the enemy. Thank you, Father. Would you like to bring this prayer point to a close? In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for sending your word to us to challenge and to charge us. Many of us might not be sure of what to do yet because we have not been led particularly to a place of decision. But I know that you have kick-started a work in our hearts, and by extension in our homes. Lord, I am praying that this work that you have started, you will finish it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, are there healing homes, healing families? Are there homes that look like hell on earth, even though well furnished? Lord, are there husbands who are more like those who ride horse and never stable, that just galloping, because this husband is sitting upon a horse. He's never at peace, he's never at rest. He's just galloping all the time. All the backbones are aching bad. He is not stable because he's attached to a woman who has actually become a trouble to his life. Do we have such women who have husbands who are like bullying them all the time, riding them as though a husband? Lord Jesus, I am praying that, Lord, you are going to intervene in such homes in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are pleading that it's going to be a home after your kind. That when the wife is troubled, Lord, everything shuts down, that the wife may be attended to. And if it is the husband that is troubled, everything stops, that the husband may be attended to. That, Lord, each of us may have such one where we can come for succor, where we can come for support, where we can come for comfort. Jehovah, give us such ones in the name of Jesus. For your marriage, I pray, the Lord, that each of them here present and those that may not be here today, I am praying that first it will be bone of their bones and flesh of their flesh, they will marry in the name of Jesus. And Father, I am praying that now you will construct their homes for them. Jehovah, there will be such homes where you can dwell in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. We hope the message you have just listened to has challenged you to greater heights in God. Take a step of obedience in response to the message, and it shall be well with you. For further help, inquiries, counsel, and prayers, contact Potter's House Christian Mission at Bedfarch, Alata Village, off Ijebode, Ibadan Road, Adebayo, Ibadan, Nigeria. Postal address, Box 23602, Mapo Post Office, Ibadan. Telephone 0803-329-1235 or 0807-270-4630. Email potters-house@hotmail.com. Website www.thepottersmission.org. God bless you.